following message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Last week, she talked about following Jesus, and I want to kind of launch off of that this morning. We started in Mark chapter 10, when the rich young ruler came and asked a very important question of Jesus: what must I do to inherit eternal life? I think I can probably safely assume that every one of us in here want eternal life. What should I do to have that? Jesus didn't come back and say, don't worry, it's automatic. Everybody's in. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus gave him an answer. They had some discourse, and then came back in verse 21, and Jesus told him, because he's the rich young ruler, and Jesus wants number one in his heart, the number one spot in his heart, Jesus said, why don't you get rid of all your stuff, and then I'll come sit there in that number one chair, and then you can come follow me. And as we know, the rich young ruler was grieved because he had much stuff, and he opted not to follow the Lord Jesus and held on to his stuff. You know, often following Jesus is going to cause you to have to let go of something else. And it may not be money. Money may not be your God. But whatever your number one God is, if it's not Jehovah, the one true God, then God wants you to let go of that so he can slide in and take first chair. Y'all remember in band, first chair? Yeah, well, God wants first chair. Okay, not second and third. God wants first chair. So you might have to scoot something over. You might have to get rid of something in order to give God that spot in your heart. And I gave you 5 points last week, real quickly. Just again, want to lay some foundation for this morning. When it comes to following Jesus, number one, following Jesus is a solo decision. It's personal. It's your decision. You can't make the decision, well, as long as my friends go, I'll go because I can't stand to not be with my friends. No, that might be the thing that you have to slide out of first chair. It might be a relationship. It might be a friend. So it's your decision. Though none go with you, still you will follow. So your decision to follow Jesus can't hinge on the idea that others are going to join you. Secondly, following Jesus won't answer all your questions. I've got questions about Jesus, Christianity, religion, faith, the Bible. I had a lot of questions coming into this thing. I've got some answers, and I still got a lot of questions, probably more than when I started. So coming to a relationship with Jesus won't solve all the questions you have. It won't answer them all. You're still going to be confused over some things. You still might have trouble understanding the book of Revelation. Number three, following Jesus won't remove all your pain. It rains on the just and the unjust. Wouldn't it be an easy thing if we said yes to Jesus, we would never hurt again? Everybody would say yes to Jesus. In fact, it's the pain and the hurt that sometimes pushes people away from Jesus. And it goes back to what I said earlier. There is an enemy that wants to bring bad, but there is a good God who wants to bring good. And there are bad things that will happen. Remember, there's an enemy that's the cause of a lot of that, all right? So God is good regardless of what goes on, bad or good. And just because you said yes to Jesus doesn't mean you'll never hurt again. So following Jesus won't remove your pain. We follow Jesus for two reasons. Number one, we follow Jesus because we love and trust him. We don't have a deal with God that I'll follow you as long as good happens, as long as, you know, I get this and that, as long as I don't have to go here or do this, as long as I don't have to volunteer for the nursery, I'll follow Jesus. No, there is no deal with God. The deal that God offered is the only deal there is. You can't bargain back and forth with him. He's already offered the deal, and the deal is this. You're full of sin. My son lived a perfect life. I'm going to let him take your place and die in your stead. He'll take all your sin and he'll give you all his righteousness. Now you can go to heaven forever. That's the deal. That's a pretty good deal. So we don't need to add any addendums and try to tack on to that deal. We have a good deal. So we follow Jesus because we love him and we trust him. So whenever the bad does happen, we trust him in the journey. We trust him in the dark times, in the hard times. And the final point, we follow Jesus just because he is the one. He's the one God gave. He's the risen Savior. He's the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. There's so many gods out there. Yes, there's about 4,200 religions out there. There's a lot of gods with a little g out there, but we follow the one true God. How do you know which one is the one? Because there's only been one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is the one. He's the Redeemer. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. There's no other name under heaven except Jesus by which a man can be saved. So we follow him because he's the one. That's why we follow Jesus. So when Jesus was on earth, if you were going to follow Jesus, you would literally follow Jesus. Jesus is not on the earth anymore. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but we are still called to follow Jesus. So what does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. Following Jesus is not just going to church. I'm glad you're here this morning. Yes. I'm glad to be here this morning. Yes. And I go to church because I follow Jesus, but following Jesus is more than just going to church, because church is on Sunday and Wednesday. The Wednesday people, amen. But following Jesus is more than church attendance. Following Jesus is more than living by the golden rule, though I think we should all live by the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. But following Jesus is more than that. Following Jesus is more than just being nice. Well, I'm a Christian now, so I turn the other cheek. It really eats me up to have to do that, but I do it. Because I got to be nice. I think Christians should be nice. But following Jesus is more than just being nice. Following Jesus is more than just believing that he's real and believing that he exists. Following Jesus involves embracing what Jesus taught. The things that he taught to the disciples that were literally following him, those still apply to us. Those teachings, the things that he said. Now I want to go to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read 4 verses to you. Jesus talking says this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Now I could stop right there and really pound on all of us this morning. Just really make us feel bad. Because how many of you can raise your hand and say, I don't always do what the Lord says? Oh, don't even raise that. I won't even make you do it. I'll raise mine. So we could take that one verse and just go on, but let me just read the rest of this and see what you grab hold from here. Verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, he who heard my teachings and did not follow them, is like a man who builds a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Yes. So when Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He's telling you, you need to do what I say because it will go better for you. Because when you build your house, you're building your life. And you want to build your life on a foundation and not on just the ground. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for your spirit. God, I know what you've put in me. Would you help it to come out in a way that would glorify you and do the most good? Would you anoint us as we listen, anoint me as I speak? Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message is Your Best Call. Your Best Call. And what I'm talking about here, it is your best call to follow him. When Jesus calls you to follow, your best call is to follow, to listen. Why? Because he's a tyrant up there and he just needs people obeying him? No, he needs you to do what he says, because that's putting your life on the solid rock. That's helping you. When you do what he says, you help yourself. You're helping yourself by following Jesus. Luke 6:46, again, this one verse, Jesus talking, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Talking about Jesus' followers. You call me Lord, you follow me, but you're not doing what I teach. Listen, there's many traits for a follower of Jesus. Followers of Jesus, we give. We serve. We worship. We pray. And there's this list that we as followers of Jesus, this is what we do. Before I followed Jesus, I didn't do that stuff. Oh, I might give a little, but I didn't give what I give now. I didn't really pray. I didn't serve. I might help somebody, my neighbor, but it was different. I do things now that I didn't do then, because now I'm a follower of Jesus. But here's another thing. Following Jesus is also about obedience. Yes. We don't like that word anymore. You know what I noticed about that word one day? The word obedience, it's 9 letters. The middle 3 letters, D-I-E, die. Yeah, I'm looking at the word and I see the word die in the middle of the word obedience. That's kind of applicable though, doesn't it? Because to obey him, we have to die to ourselves. But following Jesus involves obedience. And again, I could start really pounding us right here and make us all feel bad and guilty and come to this altar and repent, you worthless scum. I'm talking to me too. I'm going to take a little bit different angle here. But the truth is, a lot of people believe in Jesus, but they make no effort to live after the teachings of Jesus. Right. Now, that's a little bit baffling. I follow Jesus, but I'm not doing anything he says. I follow Jesus, but I usually do my own thing. Well, you're not really a follower of Jesus. You're more of a believer in Jesus, maybe. But if you do your... Now, sometimes we do our own thing because we fail our flesh and everything else. But I'm talking about people don't even make an effort or make an attempt to do what Jesus says. Because basically, hey, you have one life, you go around one time, you got to get the most out of it, so live it up, do what you want to do. You know, it takes a lot to lay that down and follow Jesus. That's called faith. That's called trust. Not always easy. You know what? I got 2 points this morning. I had more, but man, things really shifted this morning. We're going to a totally different direction once we get to the halfway through this message. But here's the first point. Christianity is more than a set of beliefs. Christianity is a way of life. When you say, I'm a Christian, yeah, you're saying you believe certain things, yes. But it's a way of life. If what you believe doesn't affect the way you live, then your beliefs really have no value. Christianity is a way of life. Radical Islam, and please understand, I use the word radical. Radical Islam. I know there are some people who follow Islam who are good people. Now, they're not following the right thing. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one, the only one. He's not equal to anybody else. He's greater than. We'll not back up from that. But that doesn't mean that everybody's not a follower of Jesus is a horrible person. No, there's some very good people out there. Man, I used to work with an atheist. He didn't even believe in God. He was an awful person. So it ain't about good and bad, it's about lost and found. So when I say a radical Islam, I'm not talking about all Islam followers. I'm talking about the radical segment or the radical part of Islam, the people who are evil, the people who are training their children to hate America, training their children to use weapons. They put suicide vests on their little darlings and walk them into a crowd and blow them up. How in the world could anybody do something so extreme? Because they have more than a set of beliefs. They have a way of life. And this is their way of life. And so they train their children in the way they want them to go. Just like we should be training our children in the way they should go. And so it's not just beliefs for them, it's a way of life, and it shouldn't be just beliefs for Christians, it's a way of life. Yes, Jesus came to die for our sins. Jesus came to give us redemption. But Jesus also showed us how to live life in a way that honors God. He listened to God, he communicated with God, and that told him what to do while he was down here. So Jesus showed us how to live life for the glory of God. Now, if you're like me, and I think you are, you get a little discouraged in this journey. You've thought things like this. Man, I've blown it again. I failed again. I did that same stupid thing again. I'm not growing in Jesus at all. I should just quit. Why am I so easily tempted? Jesus would never do what I did. I've been doing this for 40 years and I still did that. What is the use? Anybody? Is it just your pastor? If I come back next week and there's 3 of you, I'll know. Here's the good news. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to do so. And here's the good news. Jesus never asked anyone to get their act together before following him. He never asked anyone to fix all your past mistakes and then come follow me. Go get a theological education and then come follow me. Straighten out your life and then come follow me. Not only that, he didn't say, and as long as you keep doing good, you can keep following me. That's the good news. See, the men that Jesus chose as his closest followers, the 12, they didn't have their act together. They had their fair share of issues. They were proud. I'm not going to bother giving you the references here, all in the Bible. They were proud. They argued among themselves as to who would be the greatest. These were the disciples of Jesus. They were overconfident. They boasted they would never fall away from Jesus. And you might be thinking, well, that was Peter. No, if you read your Bible closely, after Peter said it, they all chimed in and said, yeah, me too. They were weak. They all forsook Jesus and ran away when things got tough. The disciples all ran away. 100% of them left. They didn't always understand what Jesus was doing. They were vengeful. At one point, they wanted to call down fire on a group of people who didn't welcome Jesus. They didn't treat Jesus right. And they're like, Jesus, you want us to call down fire? It's almost like Jesus had showed them this new trick and they won't use it. Their prayer life wasn't always the best. When Jesus needed to free them the most, he came back and found them asleep. Anybody ever fall asleep during your praying? Anybody just not pray? The disciples struggled with that too. So what's my point? And here's the second point, the final point of the day. While a follower of Jesus is more than simply a believer, a follower isn't someone who's perfect and has it all together. I'm more than just a believer in the sense of I believe in God, done, now I'm just going to do my own thing. No, I'm a follower. I try to do what Jesus has said to do. But I'm not perfect, and I don't have my act together yet. Been doing this thing for 40 years, and you think I'd have it together by now. So I say all that to say this, if you've got some struggles, that's okay. You're in good company. You had a setback or two this week? It's okay. Have you been a bad example at times to your neighbor, to your children? It's okay. It doesn't disqualify you from being a follower of Jesus. And that's the good news. These 12 men weren't perfect, but they responded to the call to follow Jesus. And right here, there's nobody in this house perfect. Most of you are followers, maybe not all. If you're not, I would encourage you to follow Jesus. You don't have to leave here and get your act together and come back and do it next week. You can start today with your mess, with your problems, with your issues. But I want to talk to those who, mainly I want to talk to those who are following and struggling, like me. And as we go on in the timeline and we get further and further away from biblical truths and the way that we were founded as a nation, as we embrace more and more of the darkness and the corruption and the confusion, the tension I feel on me gets stronger. And I feel more and more like a misfit and like an oddball on planet Earth, like I don't belong here. I love church because I get to connect with some people who feel like I do and some like-minded folks who think like I think. It gets more and more challenging to speak the truth in love the sinner but hate the sin, and don't hate the sinner and don't embrace the sin. I'm going to look at one of the 12. I want to look at their journey just a little closer. And I want to see if maybe you relate just a little bit. And I've chosen the obvious. Peter. Simon Peter. In Matthew chapter 4, Peter is called to follow Jesus. Now, if you go to the Gospel of Luke and read that story, Luke shares that Jesus didn't just walk up and go, hey, Peter, follow me, and that was it. No, Peter was fishing. Had been fishing all night, had caught nothing. And Peter tells him, Jesus tells him, drop your net over here. And Peter, reluctantly, with a little bit of an attitude, does so. And catches the biggest catch of his life. Peter repents. And then Jesus says, leave your nets. Follow me. And Peter left his nets in the greatest catch of his life on the bank. And Peter and Andrew, his brother, follow Jesus. That's in Matthew chapter 4. Peter leaves his livelihood to follow Jesus. Not everybody will be called to leave their occupation or their livelihood to follow Jesus, but many have been. Many pastors, many preachers, evangelists, are people who have left what they used to do in order to follow the calling on their life. But there's also just people who are lay people and followers of Jesus who had to set something down that maybe made them money, was part of their livelihood, in order to follow Jesus. I told you, sometimes following Jesus is going to require you to have to let go of something. Well, what do I let go of? That's between you and Jesus. That's in Matthew 4. Peter is called to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, Peter and the other 11, they've all been called by now, Peter and the other 11 by Jesus are given power over unclean spirits so that they can cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and disease. So chapter 4, come follow me. Chapter 10, six chapters later, you have power to pray for the sick and they will be healed. Chapter 14, Peter walks on water. He is growing. I don't know how much time went by, but it's only been 10 chapters and he's walking on water. He sank after he walked on water. Chapter 15, Jesus is talking parables and teaching. And Peter says, can you explain this? I don't get it. I don't understand. In chapter 14, he's walking on water. In chapter 15, I don't know what you're saying. I told you. Following Jesus won't answer all your questions. You won't always get it. In chapter 16, we find that famous discourse where Jesus asks Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I got called 12 chapters ago. 12 chapters later, Jesus is asking me, who do you say that I am? Now, I don't know if we can read into this or not, but could it be that Peter is not quite getting everything? Because in chapter 15, he had a lot of questions. And so now Jesus is saying, who do you say that I am? He said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that is the right answer. My Father has revealed that to you. Right after that, Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He's already got power to cast out spirits and heal the sick. Now I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. Whatever you bind will be bound. And right after that, Jesus talks about his death, the crucifixion that's coming soon. And Peter rebukes Jesus. I just noticed this morning. Right after he got the keys, he got cocky. People with keys sometimes have attitudes. Jesus gives Peter the keys. Yeah, I got the keys. I rebuke you, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, in turn, addresses Peter, calls him Satan, and calls him an offense, a stumbling block. And tells him, you're concerned only with the things of man, not the things of God. You only have a perspective for yourself. You don't have the big picture. You're a follower of Jesus. You feel like sometimes you don't have the big picture? Chapter 17. Jesus takes Peter along with James and John to a high mountain. He is transfigured in front of their eyes. The Bible says his clothing turns white. His face begins to shine like the sun. It's a miracle. And on top of that, God the Father speaks from heaven and Peter hears the audible voice of God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So he's called to follow. A few chapters later, he's given power over the sick. And then he's given the keys to the kingdom. And now here he is observing this miracle, hearing the out loud voice of God. And right after this, Peter watches Jesus as Jesus cast the demon out of a little boy. Peter had a front row seat to all of this stuff. And then right after that, Peter pays his taxes. I just wanted to throw that in there. Wasn't a point last week, but I'll make it one this week. Just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to pay taxes. In fact, if you haven't been paying your taxes, now that you're a follower of Jesus, you better play catch up. Then we go to Matthew chapter 18, and Peter comes up and asks the Lord, "Hey, how many times I got to forgive my brother?" Now, I don't know what was going on, if there was an issue going on with one of the others, but he's having trouble with forgiving. And then, for the next six chapters or so, Peter is not mentioned. But miracles are done, and Peter is seeing all of it. The woman with an issue of blood after 30-plus years is healed. A girl is raised from the dead. A man who is paralyzed is lowered through the roof and is healed. Jesus sits down and talks to Peter about the signs of the end times. There's the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Jesus clears the temple, knocks over the table. Jesus curses the fig tree. The next day it's dead, and Peter's like, "Wow, look at that." Parables are taught, teachings are given, and Peter is there getting it all. Peter also observes and sees other followers of Jesus walk away from Jesus. I'm telling you this story, Peter's journey, to see if you identify with it just a little bit. You're a follower of Jesus. Have you observed other followers turn and walk away? And then Jesus asked Peter and the others, "Do y'all want to leave too?" And Peter says this, "Where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God." Now, he already answered in chapter 16, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, here he is a few chapters later, "You are the Holy One of God." He still has the right answer. But it's almost like I hear this. It's almost like I hear Peter saying, "Yeah, I'd kind of like to go too, because these sayings that you're giving, these are tough to follow, tough to swallow. And yeah, there's a part of me that would like to walk away. I've considered it, but where can I go? You've made yourself so real to me, I'm stuck." You ever felt stuck in this thing? I told you I'm going to be transparent. I feel stuck sometimes. Because, see, I can't just walk away from this and go do what I want to do comfortably. Because I've seen too much. I know too much. So I can't just easily discard it. I mean, I don't have all the questions answered, but I've seen enough and know enough that I can't refute and deny the reality of God. And I hear this in Peter's answer. "Yeah, where can we go? You're the true God. There's nowhere to go. I don't like it here today. I don't like the answers you're giving. I don't like the things I'm having to embrace because I'm trying to follow your teachings. And I'd like to pull out, but I can't because you're the one. There is no other, there's only A. There is no B, C, or D option. Just you." And then we get to chapter 26. Big chapter. A lot happens in Matthew 26. Peter claims he'll never fall away or stumble because of Jesus. These other guys might, but I'll never fall away from you. Jesus tells him, "You'll deny me three times by morning." Peter claims, "I'll die before I do that." Jesus takes Peter, a couple of others, to Gethsemane to pray with him. The Bible says Jesus is in deep anguish, and he asks him, "Would you pray and watch with me?" Peter slept while Jesus prayed. Jesus comes back and finds him. "You couldn't watch with me for 1 hour?" This is a follower of Jesus being told, "But you couldn't even do this." Have you ever felt that? "I'm a follower of Jesus, but I can't even do that." And then they come for Jesus. Peter draws his sword to defend Jesus. He cuts that man's ear off. He goes for the head, but the man ducks. He gets his ear. He cuts off the ear. Jesus picks up the ear, heals the ear. And then he rebukes Peter. I'm thinking Peter expected a attaboy. I'm thinking Peter expected to be faint. Because Peter said, "I'm going to defend you. I'll never leave you." And now Peter is proving his very words by using his sword. And Jesus says, put the sword up. Those that use the sword, live by the sword, they'll die by the sword. Basically, Peter is rebuked by Jesus again. And then you read it. From that point on, the Bible says that Peter followed Jesus at a distance. At a distance. I'm still following you. Barely. I'm a little further back now because I'm a little confused. I'm hurt. I did what I thought was right. I defended you and you rebuked me. You healed the man's ear. He was trying to kill you and you healed him and then you got on to me. I'm your disciple. I'm your follower. You didn't thank me. You rebuked me. So I'm going to follow you from a distance. And then Peter, the follower of Jesus, denies the Lord. Not once, not twice. Three times he denies the Lord. He did exactly what Jesus said he would do. He failed. And then Peter weeps. Can you relate? Peter weeps. And after that, Jesus is mocked, is crucified, and buried. And then the good news, he comes back from the dead, and he's alive. He's the risen Savior. He's the one. Yes. He's the one we follow. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, they go to the tomb. They find it empty, and an angel tells them, he's not here. He's risen, as he said. And the angel says, go tell the disciples and Peter. When I read that, I felt it. Because it's almost like when Jesus got up and he's getting ready to leave, he leaves a message with the angel. And he says, listen, Mary and Mary are going to be here in a minute. And when they get here, tell them to go tell the disciples the good news and use Peter's name. Why Peter's name? He's the one that failed me. He denied me. He's the one that was most boastful. His fall is he's been following at a distance. He's in pain. He's hurting. And I want him to know I still love him. Yes. And I want you to tell him that I am risen like I said. Peter goes to the tomb, finds that it's empty. Now we don't know what's going on here. Is he excited? Or is he more shamed because of his failure? Because as he looks at the tomb, he realizes that everything Jesus said has come to pass, including, I would deny the Lord. Maybe his pain was just too much to bear, because what we find out next is that Peter tells the disciples, this is what he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to what I used to do. Before he called me. I'm going to go back and do that fishing thing again. And he's fishing. And Jesus walks up and Peter doesn't know he's there. And Jesus hollers out and tells Peter where to cast the net. And then Peter realizes it's the Lord. And he drops the net where the Lord told him to drop the net. And there's a great catch. And then Jesus has some fish already cooked on the shore, calls him in, restores him, and they eat fish together on the bank. I couldn't help but notice that when it started, Peter was fishing, and Jesus told him where to drop the net, and then said, come and follow me. And then Peter went through all that he went through. We just journeyed through it. And now here he is. He's gone back to the beginning, and Peter's fishing again. And what does Jesus do? He comes back and again tells him where to drop the net, and then lets him know, I still want you to follow me. Full circle. In Matthew chapter 4, Peter is called to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, he's following Jesus and denying the Lord, but he's following at a distance. He started following in chapter 4, and by 26, 22 chapters later, he's following at a distance. I said, everything I've said to get to this point right here, I think some of you are 22 chapters later. You're still following, but you're following at a distance. And you're following at a distance because of the pain, maybe because of the confusion, maybe because of some other reason, but you're not following the way you once followed. And maybe like Peter, you've concluded that I've done too much, I've failed too often, I'm not worthy, I might as well quit. And I want you to know those are the words of the enemy. The Lord says, I still call to you to follow me. I've seen every failure. I've seen everything. I know where you're at. I know you're hurt. I know your pain. But I'm calling you to follow me still. I haven't changed my mind about you. This isn't just Peter's journey. This is my journey. And this is your journey. If you're out there and you think, man, once I say yes to Jesus, it's just going to get better and better and better. You know, there is going to be some of that. You're going to grow. You're going to walk on water. You're going to do things, and then you're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to want to quit. You're going to see others choose to turn their back on Jesus. You're going to have trouble swallowing some of the things Jesus said. You're going to experience division in your own family, and you're going to be challenged to quit this thing and go back to fishing again, what you used to do. And Jesus says, I still call you to follow me. Me. It's been 40 years. I've been pastoring this church for 26 or 7 come this summer. I've seen a lot of people walk away. I've failed many times. I've wanted to quit many times. I have been full of doubt at times. I have questioned my own salvation in dark moments. I have wondered, is it worth it all? I have wanted to throw in the towel more than once. Sometimes I look back and I think, where could I be 40 years down the road if I'd have done something else? I've wasted my life for 40 years. I told you I would be transparent with you. And I hope you can handle it. But I need you to know, Jesus isn't looking for perfect people to follow him. And I need you to know that there will be seasons when you're following at a distance. But he's there. He's in your view. You can see him, but more importantly, he can see you. Your pastor doesn't have it all together. Your pastor struggles. And I'm still saying yes to Jesus. Amen. Your best call is to follow Jesus. It's not always going to be easy, but it's still your best call. That song Keith Green put it out so long ago, The Grace by Which I Stand, and in the very first part of it, it says, the feelings are not the same. I remember the feelings and the emotions I had on that Tuesday night. I remember those emotions that took me through my grandfather's funeral and the amazing things that happened in the first part of my journey. I remember all those feelings, but I can tell you right now, 40 years later, the feelings aren't the same. See, this isn't a journey of emotion and feeling, it's a journey of faith. And where can I go? He is the Holy One. He's the reason that I have life. He's the reason that I have blessing. Song goes on to say, I guess I'm older. I guess I've changed. Church is part of the journey. Your journey is not going to always be fluffy and warm and fuzzy. Your journey is not always going to be downhill. Sometimes it's going to be uphill. It's a journey of faith. It's for better, for worse. It's in richness and poorness, sickness, and in health. It's like when you get married. There's the honeymoon season, and then there's good, and there's passion throughout your marriage, hopefully, because there always can be, but it doesn't mean every day is good and every day is wonderful. Yeah. But you've got a commitment that is based upon something more than emotion. My commitment to Jesus is more than just emotion. Listen, I was 20 years old when I said yes to this. And I quit a lot of things that were not in line with the teachings of Jesus. And I see young people today, by young, I mean teens, 20s, 30s even. The older I get, the more young people there are. And I look at some of the things that they embrace and refuse to give up, but yet they claim to be a follower of Jesus. And I don't say this with condemnation or judgment. I get it. But I'm telling you, go back to the text. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? You need to do what I say because it puts your life on a rock foundation. It puts your life in a better place. You need to make some hard decisions while you're young so that you don't have to struggle so much when you're older. There's a song, a new release. And I want us to sing that. We'd like to practice another week, but we're going to go ahead and do it today. The bridge is part of the reason I'm choosing it. In the bridge, it says, you're my safe place, my hideaway. You're my anchor, my saving grace. You're my constant, my steadiness. You're my shelter, my oxygen. If you're here today and you feel like you just need a fresh breath of His oxygen, I want you to know I know that feeling. There's wars going on right now. There's talk of war. The word nuclear is being said a lot more than it ever used to be said. The political scope out there doesn't look so great. The economy doesn't look so great. Talk of America changing forever and never being the same. Kids not growing up in the America. I feel all that. Do you feel that? And so the pressure is there for all of us. And yet, we're following Jesus. I want you to know I'm not here to throw stones. I'm here to applaud you for following Jesus during hard times and to encourage you to keep following Jesus.
Yeah. At this point, we concluded the service with the song by Lauren Daigle. We played that live, but the audio has some difficulties, so we were not able to post it. But you can find that song on the internet. Lauren Daigle. The name of the song is Thank God I Do. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.